Hi, Marty Lurie here with Will Clark. Will, always good to see you, and you have a special night coming up this week.
We sure do. Matter of fact, on Saturday, day game, we got Autism Day at the ballpark here, and, you know, it's going to be a sellout, and we're hoping to raise a lot of funds for autism research and, you know, find a cure for this dreaded affliction.
Tell me about it, because there are different levels of it, and you've been through this in your own family. Tell me about it, and what should people look for? What should they understand about it?
You know, one thing is autism comes in several forms. It's a big umbrella, and, you know, there's social interaction. You know, you don't see eye contact, stuff like that. There's speech, you know, either really delayed speech or no speech at all. And then also there's, you know, some physical ailments. So, you know, it covers a lot of different things, but yet it's under the same umbrella. And, you know, when I first got involved with autism, it used to be one in, you know, a few hundred kids used to have autism. Now it's one in like 65, 70 kids. So, I mean, it's really, really, the affliction's picked up steam, and we need to nip it in the bud.
So I guess the diagnosis is probably more pointed now, where you could see things that maybe you didn't see before.
It's a little bit more pointed, and, you know, that's where the research is headed, was towards wherever it's being pointed. But, you know, every family at some level has, you know, a friend, a relative, a cousin, you know, even one of their own children that do have autism. And, you know, I've been, you know, me and my family have been, you know, part of that community. And so, you know, I was blessed to have a platform, and I'm using that platform to bring autism awareness.
Oh, very good. Will Clark with us. We do this each year with him. What is someone, how do you treat it, if that's the word? What do you do?
You know, a lot of it has to do with, like, occupational therapy. I know with our son, that's what worked a lot for him. And, you know, now he's, you know, graduated high school. He's gone on to community college and graduated from there. So, you know, there are, you know, positives that come out of it. And, you know, with people who do have autism, any gain, any positive is like a big deal to the parents and the family. And so, you know, we try to celebrate that as much as possible.
As a parent, is it something that parents are afraid to confront?
You know, sometimes, yeah, I guess it would be, you know, depending on that family. For me, you know, I'm more of an in-your-face type of guy. So, you know, my wife and I decided to you know, confront it head on. And, you know, Trey's doing great now. He's 21. And like I said, you know, graduated from college. Now he's working and he's driving. And, you know, so we've seen quite a few gains in his life. And, you know, it's the same thing with other families that I'm very familiar with, you know, that have autism. Anytime I see a gain, I make sure, you know, I point it out and, you know, make a big deal about it.
Tell me some of the research that's being done, because obviously you're going to raise a lot of money for it. And what kind of research are they trying to do?
You know, I guess it's be similar to what's going on with cancer. You know, they're trying to find any way possible to like pinpoint everything and to stop it before it happens. Or if it does happen, you know, make it as minimal as possible. And, you know, it's picked up steam the last few years. You know, members of the autism community could probably tell you a little bit better as to exactly what they're doing. But I know that, you know, we have made quite a few strides here in the last few years.
Well, it's great to have you on. If people want to help, is there a way to do it?
Yes. First off would be autismspeaks.org. That's local here in the Bay Area. It's also nationwide. And then the other one would be anovereducational.org. It's another Bay Area company. And so those are two main sponsors of Autism Day tomorrow at the ballpark.
All right. Great to have you on. Can we talk a little baseball here for a second?
Would love to.
All right. You've been on teams before. They get off to slow starts, and all of a sudden you play 62, 63 games, and still isn't happening. What do you do as a ball player when that's happening? Because you got a lot of games left. It's a season that we know is a long season, but at some point you say, we got to start winning some games.
You are definitely correct. I mean, at some point, it has to change. I mean, we cannot keep doing the same thing we're doing. And, you know, it all starts with winning the series. You know, you and I had talked about that earlier in the year. If we could just get this thing turned around, win a series here, win a series there, and then all of a sudden run off 5 wins in a row, that kind of thing, you know, that's how you build momentum. And, you know, we just haven't been able to do that. You know, we'll win a series, and then the next series we lose, and we look pretty trashy. So, you know, we need to put together some quality ball games back-to-back-to-back, and hopefully it starts here with this homestand, because as you talked about, I mean, you know, we still got a lot of ball games left in this season, but we're also running out of time, too. you know, because you can't be 14, 15 games behind and try to make a run, because if you make a run, then you're only 7 games back. You know, if you can get 7 games back and then make a run, that's a completely different change.
Have you had a season like that where you were back maybe 93? Coming, that was one where you guys had to come back in August.
Yeah, we, you know, we were winning the division pretty handily, and then we had a little rough stretch there. I think it was in August, and the Braves caught us and passed us, and then we had a whale of a September to pull back, you know, back up with them. So, yeah, I've been involved with those teams, and then I've also been involved with the teams specifically when I was with Baltimore. You know, teams that on paper look like that they should just go out there and dominate, and we didn't. We just didn't play well at all, and, you know, both years barely finished above 500 mark and just floundered around all year. So, you know, I've been on both sides of the coin, and I like the winning side of the coin better.
Well, you're a winner. You always have been. Of course, I always say, you know, I give you the statue every time I see you. There's something that should be in this ballpark. You're one of the best that's ever been here. Young people in baseball. Now, you've been around young people in the game. You're a college player in a College World Series. Is the game getting younger? And I think it is. And I'm saying, is it more travel teams? Are they giving more instruction to young kids? Because you look in baseball today, and there are young athletes all over the place. And if you're 30 years old, you're kind of old right now.
Yeah, it's amazing how young these guys are. And I mean, you look at you guys, like a perfect example would be like a Bryce Harper. You know, they were talking about him when he's a freshman or sophomore being major leaguer. You know, it's like, you know, it's getting earlier and earlier. And, you know, I had two dads call me this last week at home and want to know about giving hitting lessons to their sons. And I'm like, well, how old are your son? One of them was 6 and one of them was 8, you know? And I'm like, hey, why don't you let the kid be a kid for a while, you know? I'll get him when he's 15. How about that? But, yeah, I mean, that's just the way the game's moving. And, you know, you're looking now, and like you said, 30 years old is like an old ball player now. I mean, and I mean, you know, you look at the guys out on the field, and they just feel as young as they were yesterday, you know? And it's just the way sports is going in general, you know, because of the money and because of the contracts and stuff like that. You know, people want to get here as soon as possible and, you know, make their mark and stay here, you know?
Boy, I agree with you 100%. College World Series is coming up. You were in the College World Series. Your favorite memory of the College World Series?
Oh, favorite memory of the College World Series was the day I got drafted. I was drafted the second pick in the country by the San Francisco Giants, 1985. And we were in the College World Series at that time. I went out there that night and went 3-for-4 with a homer and 4 RBIs. And we wound up beating Arkansas. I think it was 5-3.
And Al Rosen said, thank goodness.
Well, I'll put it this way. After that College World Series was over, you know, I told my agent, I said, we are going to sign this contract here pretty soon. I said, I want to get out there and play ball. I'm locked in right now, and Al was very gracious enough to help sign the contract. We made it to Fresno, I think, a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks later. And, you know, you look back, and 3 months into minor leagues, and all of a sudden I'm back in the major leagues. It's like, wow, that was quick.
What a story. Nice to have you on. You're a good man.
Thank you so much, Marty. Look forward to it, and we'll see if we can't get this thing turned around tonight.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.